Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, morimuliwanji, namaste, jumbo, bienvenidos. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is the Reading with Your Kids podcast. We are coming to you from the beautiful neighborhood of Reedville in the southwest corner of Boston, Massachusetts. We are so delighted and so very honored and so wicked happy that you're joining us in our mission to help families grow closer through reading. Please be sure to tell your family and friends all about the podcast, and please subscribe to the show on the iHeartRadio app, on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Ghana, Good Pods, Himalaya, wherever you find your podcast. Our guest today is Shannon Anderson. She's returning to the show to celebrate her new middle grade novel, Not What I Signed Up For. Before we invite Shannon into the studio, we want to let you know that this episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast is brought to you by Reversed, a memoir written by Lois Leckford. Do you have a student who is struggling in school? Then have I got a book for you. Reverse, a memoir, is a brilliant educational story that every parent and every educator must read. It is a story that tugs at your heart. As in any good story, there is a villain. And in this story, there are several. Follow Lois's journey as she overcomes the odds in the story about the importance of developing literacy in children. It's a really, really powerful story. Lois was on the podcast not too long ago. You have to hear it. It's going to inspire you and make a difference in someone's life. Reverse, a memoir by Lois Leckford. This episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast is also brought to you by Rex's Journey, helping children understand and cope with emotions, written by Dr. Ambrose Paas-Turner. Rex has been struggling with understanding why and how he feels. From angry one minute to sad the next, he just wants to be a kid. What's so hard about that? But, you know, we can't always control how we feel, especially not as kids. Follow along with Rex's journey as he learns how to cope with his emotions in a safe and healthy way, something we can all learn from. This is a really powerful book that'll make a difference in your kid's life and in your family life. Get your copy today, Rex's Journey, Helping Children Understand and Cope with Emotions, by Dr. Ambrose Paas-Turner. Join us right now from the beautiful state of Indiana. Our guest is returning to the show to celebrate her new middle grade novel. It's called Not What I Signed Up For. Please welcome back our friend, Shannon Anderson. Hey, Shannon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's great to see you again, but this is different. Typically, we're talking to you about your picture books or about your books that help teach kids how to write. I think this is the first time I've spoken to you about a middle grade novel.
I think it is, yes. Yeah.
So tell us all about Not What I Signed Up For.
Well, this is kind of a full circle moment for me because my very first book that came out was about my youngest daughter, Madison, and how she had amblyopia and she had to wear an eye patch. So the book was called I Am Not a Pirate. And this one is my newest release, and it's actually about my oldest daughter. So I had a chance to include both of my daughters in books now. And this one is different. It's a middle grade, and it's not completely nonfiction. It's based on some life experiences that really did happen. But Emily had some anxiety growing up. There would be times when she would, you know, there would be a thunderstorm and she was just sure there was going to be a tornado. She was one of those that was just afraid to spend the night at a friend's house. I'd get that call, you know, late at night, can you come pick me up, Mom? And she didn't want to have anything to do with going overnight, you know, at a camp or someplace, you know, that she was going to be away from home for an extended time. She also didn't like it when my husband, Matt, and I would leave to travel somewhere. She would worry about us. So she had a lot of anxieties and fears that were just not grounded in good reasons. Just, she was just very anxious. And so this is about kind of a tough love experiment we did, sending her to a camp that she did not want to go to, thus the title, Not What I Signed Up For. And it was a turning point for her. It really ended up changing her mindset about fears. And from, you know, going to that camp experience, she first of all proved that she to herself that she could do it, that she was going to be okay. You know, especially after that first morning, she made it through the night and she was able to see that everything was all right and, you know, that she was brave and she made it. And so I wanted to be able to share her story because I know there are so many other kids like her and maybe their anxieties and fears aren't specific to tornadoes and spending the night. Maybe there are other things, but I wanted to be able to share this topic with kids to be able to see how Emily made it through that.
Yeah. I think this is really important because there are a lot more kids that suffer from anxiety than I think than we're ever aware of. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was growing up, there were certain things that I was very uncomfortable with, and no one ever identified it as anxiety. And I don't know if it was. I just know I was told to suck it up, stop acting like a baby, and deal with it. And somehow I did. But I don't think that that's necessarily the best way to deal with kids who are suffering from anxiety.
Yeah.
This must have been, I'm imagining, because I know you and I've met your daughters through social media, just watched them grow up because you and I have been friends now for a couple of years. It must have been very difficult for you and your husband to just kind of sit down and say, no, I think this is going to be a good experience for you. Where did you find the strength to say, no, I think we need to push our daughter a little bit in a safe way, in a supported way, but I think we really need to push her and get her out there.
It was hard. It was very hard. And it just so happened that this camp was at the same time that I was going to be in Los Angeles for a conference. So I knew it was a good time for me to send her because I couldn't cave and go get her if she, you know, made that call, mom, come get me. I was going to be far away. And she knew that too. And so that was part of, you know, why I knew this needed to happen at this time. But this camp was not just any old camp, like a 4-H camp or something like that. This was actually, a faith-based camp. It was Gull Lake Ministry Family Camp, which is in Michigan. So a whole state away because we're in Indiana. And people from our church had gone to this camp for years, you know, with their families, and I'd only heard and seen good things about this camp, how wonderful and fun, what a great experience. And our church used to send some of the youth group kids with a couple of, you know, the youth leaders. Instead of going as a family, they would go as a group. And so that was what I decided would probably be the best way to get her to do it. So we even had our pastor come over to help us deliver the news that she was going because she had a really good relationship with our pastor and his wife. They're just awesome, awesome people. And they came over and they helped us to talk her through, you know, that you are going. And it didn't go well. I mean, she, as she was hearing what was happening, she was, you know, curling up into fetal position on the couch and started tearing up. And the weeks leading up to the camp were really hard. She felt, you know, a little betrayed that we had planned this, you know, and not asked her if she wanted to go. We knew that she wouldn't ever sign up to go on her own. So it was a tough thing. But, you know, at the end of the camp, when I went to pick her up, she looked kind of upset. And I had talked to her during the camp. We got special permission for her to take a little track phone with her at the time. That's what she had. And so I had talked to her while she was there. And it turns out, you know, she was having a wonderful time. She had the best counselor she could have had for her age group. You know, all the kids get put into groups to do different activities throughout the week. And she had a wonderful, wonderful counselor. But that day when I picked her up, she seemed kind of upset. And I asked her, are you still upset that we sent you, you know, without you wanting to go? And she said, no, mom, this was so awesome. I wanted to stay longer. And so that was just, you know, music to my ears to hear that, you know, she had not only overcome, you know, this fear of spending the night somewhere, but that it was such a wonderful experience. She wanted to go even stay even longer. And she went back every single year through adulthood since that time. We started going as a family. And it's just been a wonderful place. So if people are looking for a great family week away up in Michigan, it is just, I can't say enough about it. It really is so much fun and such a wholesome, wonderful way to bond as a family.
Now, I'm imagining there might be some parents out there thinking, oh, Shannon, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have made the plans with your kid. You should have been more respectful of your child's fears and anxieties, and you had no right to push your kid in that way. What would you say to that listener?
Well, first of all, I get it, and I felt it too. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I felt like a horrible mom, especially the day she left in tears. But we had tried lots of different things, and there are lots of things that you can do to try to combat fears and anxieties. And, you know, sometimes it's a matter of helping them switch their mindset, giving them techniques like, you know, an interrupter of some kind, like, can you switch things around? Like, instead of thinking, well, what if this storm turns into a tornado, you know, switch that what if around to what if this storm just blows through and we are all fine and it's all okay. You know, if you have anxieties about, you know, getting on a stage, you know, what if I forget my lines or what if I get laughed at, you know, switch that what if around to what if I end up having a great time? And what if, you know, they applaud at the end, or what if I learn something new from this experience and it's so much fun? So switching those what ifs, you know, we had done those things with her. We tried to do things like, you know, if you learn more about something, sometimes you're not as fearful of it. So my husband was taking her to storm classes. So as the police chief of our town, he was always invited to go to things like that because he was one of them that had to go out and spot funnel clouds when the conditions were kind of, you know, favorable for tornadoes. So he was going to those and taking her with, helping her to learn about storms and cloud formations and, you know, when it is, you know, a time to worry and when it's not, those kinds of things. But we really ultimately, as people of faith, as Christians, decided that, you know, one of the biggest things that we can do for her is to teach her that, you know, we're not in control. God's in control. And what it comes down to is that we have to trust and that we have to understand that he has a perfect plan for us. And as many times as we might think in our lives that we know a better way, you know, we aren't the ones with the perfect plan. We have no way of controlling anything. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, a game changer in my life, because I had a lot of anxiety. As a matter of fact, the beginning of this book, when I'm sharing some of the anxieties that Emily as the character has, I gave her some of my childhood anxieties just to kind of have the character in the book have more that she was dealing with. Mm-hmm. So for example, I used to worry about someone breaking into our home. I used to also worry about the tornadoes. I had those kinds of fears that something was going to happen. I even had a suitcase that I kept packed and up on the basement steps. So if there was ever a time, you know, that there might be a tornado, that suitcase had my treasures in it that I could take downstairs with me while we waited out the storm. But something that changed things for me was learning, you know, to trust God, and also reading this book, Anxious for Nothing. It's a John MacArthur book, but I just love that in this book, it shares about how we just need to work as hard as we can and be content that God is in control, because, you know, when we worry, we're thinking that, you know, God is not going to be able to pull this off. He's not going to be able to protect me, or he's not going to be able to know what's right for me. And if we can switch that to remembering that, oh my goodness, you know, like of course he knows what's good for me and he can pull this off. Yeah. So having our trust in that, something bigger than ourselves, I feel like is a way that we can, help ourselves, but also help our kids. And that was one thing that she really did learn through that camp experience. She, you know, our pastor sent her off with the verse 2 Timothy 1:7, that God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power and love and self-control. And so if we can keep that in our hearts and remember that, then, I feel like that can help us and give us confidence.
Isn't it funny that so many of us who identify as Christians and Jews and Muslims and other people of faith who believe in this God that created everything, that loves us, that values us, there are times when we sit down and we think, yeah, but God's not going to be able to help me out of this situation. It's like, wait a minute, God made the world. He made everything. Yeah. What do you mean he can't help you out of this?
He has a pretty good resume.
You know, I think that that's the story, I think, is really powerful. And I think it's really important that, you know, we do have to respect our kids and their fears and their anxieties, and we have to support them. But at some point, you know, that old message that I got, you know, kind of suck it up, deal with it, get on with your life, kid. We don't have to go that far, but we still, our kids sometimes, and ourselves, sometimes we need that little push, a supportive push, so that we can break free of we can break free of our anxieties, as your daughter did, and really experience the world, because otherwise we can become slaves to our anxieties and fears.
Yeah. And she even went on to, in high school, go to a mission trip to a very dangerous area that gave Matt and I anxiety, on the border of Mexico, where she was helping in an orphanage. She was, right there in an area where my husband said there was big drug cartel activity and it was just not a safe place to be, but she went on a mission trip there, knowing that it was a dangerous place, you know, just several years after this experience, you know, going to this camp. And can you imagine going from being afraid to spend the night at your best friend's house that's just down the street to going to another country and helping in an area that's kind of scary? And she went on in college to go on to serve on Skid Row and share, you know, the word with homeless people there and provide food. And that was a scary experience too. But I think as we finally start trusting and as we start learning that we can get through these things that make us worry, we get stronger and we start to realize too that we can do these things. You know, a lot of my books that I've written for kids are on growth mindset, and there's a lot of that in there too, about, you know, when we start to practice things and we start to try hard things, we get better at them. And our, you know, we actually are rewiring our brain to be more prepared and able to do those things.
Yeah. I love what you said. We're practicing, we're developing our skills. No one gets on the basketball court the first day and is a superstar.
Right.
And we don't jump out of the womb being able to jump up on stage or go on a mission trip. These are things that we have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm imagining you had to learn in writing this book is just kind of switching your mindset from being a picture book author who is telling beautiful, inspiring stories in 500 or 600 words to telling this story with a lot more words and a lot more detail.
Yeah, it was a challenge. I can't say I didn't experience imposter syndrome for a while, thinking, I can't write a novel. What am I thinking? I'm, you know, more into the picture books, you know, the books that I used to read to my students when I was in the elementary classrooms. And it was a challenge for sure. It's only my second middle grade that I've written, and the first one was nonfiction. So that one's a little bit, I think, easier to organize and write because it's in sections, you know, and each section can stand alone. And when you're revising something, you're not revising the whole entire thing. You know, you might just be tweaking that particular content in that particular chapter. So it was a challenging experience, but it feels good to, you know, to know that I can do that. And if I wanted to write another one, that I could do that. And so far I've been getting great feedback on it, which always, you know, feels good and helps you overcome that imposter syndrome stuff.
Yeah. I'm curious about Emily. How did she feel with so much of her story being shared in this novel?
Yeah, that was really important to me to get her permission to share and also have her understand and read the whole thing and know what was in there, that I'm not only sharing her anxieties, but through her character, I added mine to it. And so people reading it, because I did use her name and her sister's name. And so people reading it, you know, I remind them, and it does say in there, I included some information, you know, at the end that, you know, some of these things didn't really happen, that some things were fictionalized for, you know, the sake of the story. And so I wanted to make sure that she was okay with that. And she was. So that made me feel good.
I'm not surprised that she said it was okay, because obviously she is a very caring and giving woman. And I'm sure that she would want people to grow from her experience and learn from her experience.
Yeah, she's a teacher herself now. Mm-hmm. She teaches first grade in a Christian school. And so she has a copy of the book for her students. And so I'm obviously it'd be a read aloud because she has a younger, age group, but yeah, she wanted to be able to share her story with others as well. Yeah.
So you've mentioned a couple of times that this is a Christian, faith-based novel. Would a kid or a family that doesn't have a faith tradition also enjoy the book?
I personally think so. I read books of other faiths because I think it's always interesting to hear about other people's experiences. I think that makes us better people to learn from others, and everything that makes us different makes the world wonderful, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that you said that. It's something that I strongly believe in. And one of the things that's a really important lesson that I've learned is the more I know about other faiths and the more I know about people who don't have a faith tradition, the more I find that we share in common.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. It's when we don't know about a faith and we think, oh, they think this or they think that or they don't think anything. That's what generates the fear and the suspicion. And most of that is based on ignorance of who we're talking about. And as we get into it and we learn about the different faith traditions and we discover that, wow, they believe that the most important thing is love too, that we should be loving each other and loving ourselves and caring for each other. I think I can get with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you grow as a person after writing this novel?
Oh, well, of course, you know, it was a new genre for me, a different type of writing. So I had to go to different types of, you know, workshops, critiques, classes, all of those things to, you know, learn how to write in a different way. In picture books, your text is so short and every word counts. You have to have a reason for each word to be there, versus in this, there aren't illustrations that are going to carry the story. So the fun part is getting to use lots of words and getting to, you know, have all of these juicy descriptions and fun ways to explain things. And you can explain more, versus in a picture book, you're of course relying on the illustrator to provide half of the meaning of the story and half of the delight of the story. It's a great partnership, of course, but then, you know, when all of the weight is on you, because everything has to be told through your words, it's both fun and daunting because, you know, there is so much that you have to make sure you include so that people understand it, but that it's also done in an interesting way. You know, what's going to make them read that many pages of a book and keep them, interested and caring about what's happening to the characters.
Yeah. now that you have this second middle grade novel under your belt, and I'm looking in your wonderful studio and I see right over your shoulder, Why Is For Yet. Are you considering possibly writing a YA title or a novel for adults?
You know, probably, well, adults, yes. I have written a couple of books for teachers. And so, you know, as a teacher of 25 years, I have a lot that I still want to share. And I have written one Christian adult book. I don't think I have it right over here by me. It's called A Deed a Day. And it's just kind of sharing our family experience of doing an act of kindness a day for a year and recording it. It ended up being such a wonderful experience for our family. I wanted to share it. So I shared it just as a short story format in a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And they ended up putting in three different books over 6 years. And then when I was at a conference, I had explained, you know, that short story to an editor. And they said, we want the whole story. Like, we want a whole book that's going to share why you decided to do that, how you did it, and the ripple effects from that experience. And so that one is a Christian adult book that people can read and hear about our experience and hear about how you could do that with your own families. It was wonderful. So those types of adult books, yes. And I am interested in writing more books for teachers. YA, I doubt if I will dabble there. My favorite thing to write is picture books. And so my plan is to continue to write as many of those as I can.
Awesome. Well, I know people are going to want to know where they can go to find out more about you and find out more about Not What I Signed Up For.
Okay. Well, my website's probably the easiest. Everything is in one place. So it's shannonisteaching.com. And the book is available on Amazon. It's Not What I Signed Up For.
Yeah. And if you are looking for an exciting school experience, exciting author visit, I know that Shannon is phenomenal. And they can find out about how they can invite you to do a school visit on your website?
They can, yes.
Awesome. We've had a great time speaking to the author of the new middle grade novel, Not What I Signed Up For, Shannon Anderson. Hey, Shannon, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Please be sure to join us for the next episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Our guest will be Amy Schwartz. She'll be here to celebrate the reissue of her debut picture book, Bee and Mr. Jones. This book was first published 40 years ago. It's an amazing book. We have a really deep, personal conversation with Amy about Bee and Mr. Jones, about her career. And I also asked her if there's any project that she'd like to write that she hasn't had a chance to yet, and tells us yes. And you don't want to miss what that is. That's the next episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Hey, we would love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at Reading With Your Kids on Instagram, at Reading With Your Kids on TikTok, and at Jedley Magic on Twitter. And of course, we'd love it if you could go to our website, readingwithyourkids.com, and sign up for our free newsletter. And also feel free to use that contact button at the top of the page to let us know what we're doing well, let us know what we could be doing better, and let us know who you would like to hear on a future episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. I want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful. Of course, I want to thank our guest, Shannon Anderson. We love when Shannon joins us. Please be sure to check out Not What I Signed Up For, her fantastic middle grade novel. Also want to thank our sponsors, Reversed, a memoir by Lois Leckford. And we also want to thank Dr. Ambrose Paas Turner. Please be sure to check out her book, Rex's Journey, Helping Children Understand and Cope with Emotions. It's a beautiful picture book that would be a great addition to your family library. I want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Rory Grady, Nicole Bell Castro, Mirabella Q, Rain Pan. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And as always, thank you so very much for taking the time to make the world a better place by reading with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast.
Hey. And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.